Welcome, everyone, to Committee on Agriculture and Rural Economies, and I'll call the order. Clerk will note the roll. I do note that we do have a quorum, so we're ready for business. Today we'll start out, I think, just with a welcome and introductions, and if it's all right with everyone else, we'll just go around the room. We typically have the usual suspects for agriculture and rural economies here, so I think it's best everyone in the audience introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about what you do. And we'll start out with myself. I'm a farm boy from rural Slayton, Minnesota, in the southwest part of the state. Farmed all of my life. Been fortunate to do that, especially now, the grain prices the way they are. In the past, we've basically grown all kinds of livestock and grains, but now, since I have this part-time job here, I'm not able to have the livestock going. So that's a history of the farming. I started out in my really career of working for my fellow citizens when I was elected to the Soybean Research and Promotion Council. I spent 14 years on the council. Served as chairman of the state organization three terms. We created a national organization called the United Soybean Board. I was appointed to that by the Secretary of Agriculture. Served several years as the International Marketing Committee chairman. And with that role, I was able to travel, lead over 30 trade missions to over 40 countries, and some of them many times, to work on export markets. And then I eventually became chairman of the United States Soybean Board. And then I was the past chairman. I thought it was a good time to get out of there and live happily ever after at my farm near Slayton, Minnesota. But my wife and others had different ideas, and so I was elected to the House and served eight years in the House, and then decided that we'd come in and move over here to the Capitol and run for the Senate. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it, and we'll go on to the next one, our committee administrator.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Burquam. As Senator Chair Magnus said, I'm the committee administrator. I grew up on a farm down in Kenyon, Minnesota, so I'm looking forward to working with this committee this year and each one of you. Please feel free to contact me at any time if there's any way I can help.
Hi there, my name is Libby Krieger. I've been working for the legislature for 2 years. I formerly worked for Senator Dill. If there's anything you need at all, just come and see me. We're in 205. Thank you.
I'm Gary Kubley. I serve Senate District 20. I've discovered I have more counties in my district than most people down here have towns. I won't list the towns. We wouldn't get done in time, Mr. Chair.
That's
but
right.
I have Senator Dale's old office, Libby, so if you need some assistance from the other side, you know where I am. I grew up on a farm south of Albert Lea. It was actually in Iowa, but I like to say south of Albert Lea. But anyway, I've been on the Ag Committee. Every year I've been in the legislature. I had 6 years in the House. This is my ninth in the Senate.
I'm Senator Ken Kielash. I represent District 63, which is parts of five precincts in southwest Minneapolis, Richfield and Bloomington. So I represent the Mall of America, the airport in that area, for those more familiar with that. My background is as I come out of the construction industry. I'm a 35-year member of the Carpenters Union. I also, during my younger days, my family is from rural Minnesota, and I've spent several summers working on my uncle's farm. We're doing just about everything there was to do when they were much more diversified back then. So I'm looking forward to serving on this. And one of my interests is trying to see if we can't get some economic development around the local food movement.
Michelle Benson, Senate District 49, Ham Lake, Andover, and Coon Rapids. My ag background, grew up on a farm. My family's still actively engaged in farming, and I'm part of that operation in the falls as need be. We have grain farmers and dairy farmers, and as a freshman, I'm just glad to be on this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dan Sparks. I serve southern Minnesota, Freeborn County, Maurer County, and four townships in Fillmore County. I'm excited to be back on the Ag Committee. I was on the Ag Committee my first term and look forward to working with you and the other members of this committee.
Hi, Senator Rod Skoy, a farmer from Clearbrook, Minnesota, in north central part of the state.
Hello, I'm Carla Nelson from Rochester. I also represent Chatfield, Dover, Eota, Elgin, Plainview, and Stuartville. My background is as a teacher. I'm an education graduate, have a master's in education. I served on the University of Minnesota Extension Advisory Council, the Citizens Advisory Council, and I really was interested in the ag industry. I learned a lot, actually, serving on that advisory council for a couple years. I look forward to being a part of this committee and learning about this important industry in our state and a very important industry to my district. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. It's really good to see you guys, and it's good to be back on this committee. I served on this committee the first 4 years. I always like to say I'm an old retired agronomist. And then Steve Murphy, Senator Murphy, would say, "Oh, you're not old." So that's right. You guys are supposed to chip in here. But I am an old retired agronomist, and I was actually born and raised in a big city in Denver, but agriculture is it, and that's what drives the state. We all know that. So I'm just excited to work with you, Mr. Chair and members, on all these ag issues.
I'm Gary Dames, Senate District 21, which includes Brown County, Redwood County, Lyon County, and part of Watonwan County. I'm from Redwood Falls. I'm in the insurance business. I have a fairly strong background in agriculture, having been born and raised on a farm. And as a commissioner, I've served, Redwood County Commissioner, I've served on several boards and committees dealing with agriculture, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve on the commission and look forward to working with the senators and the chairman on the Ag Committee, and thank you.
I'm Dave Brown, Senate District 16. I live in Becker. District 16 was formerly represented by Betsy Wergen a couple years ago, and I'm looking forward to being on this committee. I grew up in a rural economy in Iowa, and I like to say I didn't choose where I was born, but I do choose where I live now. So I'm looking forward to serving on this committee.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Jeremy Miller, Senate District 31. Representing Winona, Houston, and Fillmore counties. My background is in business and accounting. Our family's in the scrap and recycling business. Agriculture, my wife did grow up on a farm in Lewiston, Minnesota, a farm that her grandfather still farms to this day. So thank you. It's a honor to be on this committee, and I look forward to working together with everybody.
I'm Sean Nano. I'm in my second non-consecutive term. I previously served 4 years on the Agriculture Committee. This will be my fifth year. I represent, geographically, I represent roughly Chisago County and Isanti counties. I also do have the city of St. Francis. I'm in that exurban, neither rural nor suburban area. So District 17 is the number.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Tom Saxog. I represent Senate District 3. Which is a large part of north central Minnesota, starting at the northwest angle and coming down through International Falls, Grand Rapids, and I have the north half of Mille Lacs Lake. You would guess that with 8,000 square miles in the district that I'd have some ag in there, even though I'm up in the woods. And that's right, Lake of the Woods County has a significant bluegrass seed economy up there, and then there's some significant beef farming in Aiken County. So look forward to being on the committee and being with you all.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Dan Mueller. I'm the fiscal analyst for this committee. I also serve as a fiscal analyst for the Environment Committee and the Commerce Committees. I'll be the one that be handing out the spreadsheets and working on fiscal notes. So if any of you need any help or work on any of those matters, please let me know. And in a moment here, Greg and or Mr. Knopf and I will be going through some overviews, but I'll let Greg introduce himself.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Greg Knopf. I'm the legislative analyst assigned to this committee and the Environment and Natural Resources Committee. This will be, I've been here a little over 27 years, but this will be my 28th legislative session. I've been reading, writing, and analyzing laws for, you know, over 27 years.
Okay. Let's start around the audience. Maybe, Ross, you want to start around there and tell us your ag background in the state of Washington.
Ross Kramer, law firm of Messerly and Kramer, represent AgriBank for the Farm Credit System. And I've been a lobbyist over here for, I won't even tell you how long. Our family has been farming in the state of Washington for 131 years. My brother and my cousin and I are the survivors. It's called a lazy day.
I was hoping I'd get skipped. I'm sitting behind the column here. But my name is Alicia Cowan. I work for Minnesota Management and Budget. I'm the executive budget officer assigned to Department of Agriculture, AURI.
My name is Bob Zolenka. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association. We represent grain elevators and feed mills in the state. We have a grain elevator and feed mill over 600 communities around the state of Minnesota.
Hello, I'm Allison Hartle. I'm an independent lobbyist, and I'm here today representing Golden Plump Poultry. I've been around the Capitol for about 15 years and was born and raised on a farm in Owatonna.
I'm Jake Fisher. I'm the program manager at the Minnesota Project. I work on energy issues in rural areas and currently doing a lot with farm energy efficiency.
Hi, Bruce Clavin. I'm a farm kid from Chippewa County. That's my folks' farm in Center Cooper District. I come by once in a while in the fall if they're short of help. This is my 17th session sitting in this room working for ag. My clients are the wheat growers, barley, all three sugar companies, the potato growers, turkey, beef cattle, the co-ops, chickens, eggs, the turf seed industry, Syngenta, and the drainage
company. Hi, I'm Chris Raddatz. I'm director of public policy for Farm Bureau. I'm Bruce's younger brother. Actually, I think this is my 18th year. I started lobbying up here 1 year before Bruce did. So I do all the legislative work for Farm Bureau. Our family has a 150-year farm in our family name down at Lewiston, so Senator Miller will be checking in. Pleasure to be here.
Good afternoon. I'm Will Searle. I'm the Vice President of External Relations at Second Harvest Heartland, which is your regional food bank. And yes, it's my fifth session in this capacity. It's been my privilege also to appear before this committee in an earlier life as the Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture and defend the administration's budget to a very sharp bunch of legislators. It's a pleasure to be back.
My name is Scott Mullen. I'm also a lobbyist, a number of different clients, grew up in a farm out in Lacaparl County, and in fact, I farmed there into my 30s. And after we left, Bruce's family, in fact, leased the land for a number of years, so we're a little connected there. And just have always enjoyed following Ag and appreciate being here. Thanks.
My name is Annalie Garlitz, and I am a farm kid from Winnebago, Minnesota. And I work with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and I work with farm and ag interests for them.
I'm David Musilevich. I'm unemployed, so I thought I'd come
to I'm Paul Silva. Newcastle, Minnesota. Involved in ag since the farm crisis in the 80s.
My name is Doug Carnival. I'm with the independent lobby firm McGrane J. Carnival and represent Monsanto and the Minnesota Nursery and Landscape Association and a variety of other clients. And this, I've been doing this for over 25 years.
Rob Nosek, here on behalf of Minnesota. Do some work for the townships and assessors.
I'm John Appitz. I'm with the law firm of Messerly and Kramer. And we represent a number of agricultural clients. In particular, you'll see me here on farm credit services issues, but we also represent Crop Life America, DuPont Pioneer, Pioneer Seeds. I know that for a fact. Work with Newell Searle over at Second Harvest Heartland. And you'll see us talking about railroad issues with the Minnesota Regional Railroads, short lines. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Andrew Dewar. Some of you might know me as AJ. I work with John and Midley and Kramer on the same page, and formerly the House A Committee, I work with Chair Magnus.
Quinn will skip you, and we'll come back to you and some of the others. Let's see. How about the young lady over there?
I'm Crystal Perrin. I work at the Minnesota Agricultural Council.
I'm Darren McBeth with the Minnesota Agricultural Council.
Peter Shepard, a farm kid from Waseca, working with the Department of Agriculture with Ag Development and Financial Assistance.
Kurt Markham, Marketing Director, Department of Ag, and I grew up on a dairy farm.
Bill Hartman, I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health and the State Veterinarian, and I grew up on a farm that my grandfather homesteaded between St. Cloud and Clear Lake.
I'm Paul Anderson. I'm a Veterinarian Assistant Director with the Board of Animal Health. I practiced for a dozen years in Iowa and then returned to Minnesota, and I've been with the board for 20 years.
I'm Tom Peterson. I'm the Government Director for the Farmers Union. And I live in Pine City, and I raise and train show horses.
Harry Wordeshut, Vice President of the Minnesota Farmers Union. I farm with my son and little grandson in western Minnesota, Renville County. And my grandson's only five, but he loves to do chores and likes to be there. He's a farmer.
Hi, my name's Howard Goldman. I'm with the Humane Society of the United States. I'm the Associate Director in St. Paul. And
hi there, I'm Melissa Ron. I'm the lobbyist with Fredrickson and Byron, and if this is a room of usual suspects, I'm a usual suspect wannabe.
I'm Kate Harrison with the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, or AURI.
Anybody? We got an itch from the range here that we're itching to talk about himself here.
Craig Janisich, Senate UFO Research.
Brad Kusterman, Senate Republican Research.
Tom Oskoff, I'm the committee page of Community Students Health.
Valerie, would you introduce yourself too, please? And tell us what you do.
I'm Valerie Jarek, I represent the Minnesota Corn Growers and Minnesota Health.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks for introducing yourselves, telling us a little bit about you. I think now we'll start with our Greg. You want to start, or Mr. Knopf?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could get a page to hand out a couple of things.
Handouts here.
What I'm going to hand out is it's kind of the official. The first one is a two pager that's not stapled, and it has a kind of a list of the jurisdiction. This is what'll be on the web that'll show the committee's jurisdiction, and it shows the state agencies that are involved in this committee, and then also who the confirmations are. I'll let it come around before we talk specifically. Then I also put together a second handout that has a list of the statutes and sections of statute that this committee will generally be operating in. It is a fairly lengthy list. Some of these chapters do not get a lot of work each year, but just it is a list of the ones that generally are considered for this committee. This committee would be the first committee or the primary committee for that jurisdiction. So I think what I'll do is you can see the one that'll be on the web. I won't go through that on specific agencies. And then also you can see in the bottom it has a confirmation. On the back side there's some additional issues like the corporate farming law and drainage and other things that this committee deals with. What I'm going to talk from is this three-page handout I have that has, it says Agricultural and Rural Economies Statutes 2011 session on the top. And I'll just go through this briefly to kind of talk about what these statutes are. The first one is Chapter 17, Department of Agriculture. Of course, it talks about Department of Administration. That's where the sustainable agriculture statutes are. There's also the Ag BMP loan program is in there. There's a special provision for farm solid waste disposal that's in there. There are some DNR statutes that were codified in Chapter 17 on aquaculture. Generally, the Environment and Resource Committee deals with those more than this committee would, even though they're in 17. The commodities promotion, all the commodity promotion councils, that's the statutes that they operate under are in that chapter. Agricultural marketing and bargaining, especially for those vegetable growers in the state. And then agricultural contracts are some specific language on how contracts have to be written between for agricultural products and enforcement of agricultural laws. 17A is a livestock market agency dealer licensing, grain inspection. 17B, 18 is pest control. That's where the noxious weed law resides. And then 18B, C, and D and E are basically our pesticide and fertilizer laws. And you can see that it's split up into one of them. Chapter 18D is actually the incident response and the liability and enforcement. And 18E, of course, is the response and reimbursement for those people who have spills. 18F is genetically engineered organisms for agriculture. 18G is plant protection export certification. 18H is a nursery law, and 18J is basically the enforcement of those previous two chapters, 18G and 18H. 21 deals with seeds. 25, commercial feed specifications. 27, wholesale produce dealers. 28, cold storage. 28A is licensed food handlers. And again, these are the non-restaurant food handlers. Restaurant food handlers are the Department of Health. And then if you look at, and then also the food, under the food law, you got the wholesale food, that's chapter, that's still the licensing, 28A, the food brokers. And then 29, poultry and eggs. 30, potatoes, wild rice, and apples. Chapter 31 is a food law, with deals with food labeling and organic food. And then 31A is a meat and poultry inspection. That's a state inspection. There's both federal and state. These are the specifications for the state inspection. 31B is the Minnesota Packers and Stockyards Act. 32 are dairy products, deals with inspection requirements and dairy trade practices. 34 is non-alcoholic beverages. 35, this is the Board of Animal Health, and also that's where the Farm Survey licensing is located. Then all the laws dealing with the Board of Animal Health are in Chapter 35. 37 are the state agriculture, that's basically the state fair. 38 are the county fairs, and there's some language in the Extension Service in there. 48 is Agricultural Land Preservation Program. There are a few counties in the state that are still in that program. It was a voluntary program. 41 is pretty much a defunct chapter now. It's the Family Farm Security Program, but it is, I think it's a reminder of some past programs. 41A, that's where you get the Agricultural Resource Loan Guarantee Program, and the Ethanol Development Program is in 41A. 41B is the Rural Finance Authority, the RFA Board, the loan programs. Generally, those programs all use bonding authority, whereas 41C is a little different program also run by the RFA, where they use a federal tax law to reduce interest rates, and that they do have a beginning farmer loan program and an ag business enterprise loan program under that. 41D is Agricultural Education Leadership Council. 103, and then 103E I have listed here, drainage law. Also, the Environment Natural Resource Committee would be involved in drainage law, but you are listed as a primary committee for that to make sure that bills dealing with drainage also come here. Feedlot regulation, that's also in Environment Natural Resources, but those bills usually also come here too. So that's in Chapter 116. I've listed the sections out. And we also have a section in the Rural Policy and Development Center. And then the AORI under 116V, and then Chapter 156 is the veterinarian's chapter. It deals with the Board of Veterinary Medicine and veterinary prescription drugs and other requirements for veterinarians. 223, grain buyers. 227, crimes involving warehouse receipts. 228, crimes involving bills of lading. And then on the next page, 230 is public warehouses, and then warehouses, grain storage, and 232, 233, public terminal warehouses, 234, grain storage, 235, grain general provisions, 236, grain banks, 336A, farm product liens and financing statements. And I didn't put in, there are some specific lien statutes in Chapter 514. They're not listed here. We actually dealt with those a little bit last session. The chair probably remembers that well. And then 343, now we get into the animal statutes, especially 343, the prevention of cruelty to animals. 344 is partition fences. Most of the times, this is a fence law. Most times with the fence laws deals with because of cattle, and we're trying to keep cattle on one side or the other. Now, sometimes the local government committee deals with that, but I know I've dealt with it as part of this committee over the years, too. So we don't usually make too many changes in that law, but I just listed that here for people's reference. And then stray animals in 346, dogs and cats. And then in 473H, you've got the Metropolitan Agricultural Preserves, which is similar to the other one I mentioned earlier, that there are a few counties in the rest of the state. And then in Chapter 500, there are a few provisions that I wanted to mention. One is the alien farm law, or basically for non-U.S. citizen ownership of farmland. There are some significant restrictions on that ownership in the alien farm law. In the corporate farm law, there are significant restrictions on certain types of corporations owning farmland in Minnesota. And then also something remnant from the 80s, the right of first refusal for agricultural land when it basically gives the immediately preceding owners the right of first refusal to reacquire the land that was lost. We also have a statute of nuisance liability for agricultural operations in 561.18, and then in 583 we have the Farmer Lender Mediation Act. Just briefly, I wanted to go through that and kind of let people know what types of things are in the jurisdiction of this committee.
Any questions? Very good. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Chairman, next I will go through. There's a two-page budget overview. The first page is titled Agriculture Budget, Biennial Spending by Agency General Fund. The first page is just the general fund spending for the three agencies that will be appropriated from out of this committee, the Ag Department, the Animal Health Board, and the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute, which in the future will hopefully all say AURI. This table shows is a four biennial history of, and going for looking ahead at the base budget for the 2012-13. Now again, the first page is just general fund spending. You'll see for the Department of Ag, their appropriations for biennials have ranged anywhere from about $71 million in the current biennium, fiscal year 10 and 11, and previous years. Previous biennium, they're all the way up to $91.6 million. The reason for that is the current biennium, there was some one-time reductions in ethanol payments, and the previous biennium, there was some one-time clean water money that came out of the general fund. And then looking ahead at the base budget for 12 and 13, the Department of Ag's base budget is $73.6 million. The Animal Health Board, their budget is about current budget is about $10.3 million. Looking ahead, it is $10.2 million roughly. And then the AURI spending has varied over the years. Back in 2006 and 2007, they were getting $3.2 million, and then it jumped up to $6.2 million, and now they're at about $5.6 million. For the total general fund spending for this division, currently, it's about $86.9 million and about $89 million looking ahead. And if you want to put that in perspective over the total state budget, currently we're at $30.26 billion, so this division spends about 0.29% of the general fund budget overall. And later on, as we go through the session, I'll have much more detailed information about each of the program areas, and the department, I'm sure, will cover some of that also. The next page is, again, same agencies, but looking at all funds spending. This committee spends money out of a few other funds, namely the Department of Agriculture uses a special revenue fund, the Ag Fund, which is mostly a fund operated out of the Department of Ag where they collect fees for various purposes. The Remediation Fund is mostly a fund operated at the Pollution Control Agency, but the Department of Ag does use some money out of that fund for cleanup purposes. Gift Fund is a pretty small fund where the state receives any gift money that's specified for a specific agency. The Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, in the current biennium, there's no money used at the Department of Ag, but that's money that comes from lottery proceeds. It's appropriated from recommendations from the LCCMR. And then you'll see two new funds, the Outdoor Heritage Fund and Clean Water Funds. These are two of the funds that were approved by constitutional amendment from raising the sales tax. So currently the Department of Ag spends about $2 million out of the Outdoor Heritage Fund and about $8.6 million out of the Clean Water Fund. And then the last fund is a flow-through of federal funds that go through the department. Now, these do not include ag subsidies and things like that go right to farmers. So about $154 million of total spending by the Department of Ag, and you'll see $71 million of that is from the general fund. Under the Animal Health Board, current biennium, fiscal year 10 and 11, they spent about $13.8 million. 10.3 of that is from the general fund. AURI is all funded from the general fund, $5.6 million. And then, again, total spending for the from all funds is $173.4 million. The last page of this handout is just a brief description of some of the different funds that I just went through. And I put some links on here about if there's some more detailed fund statements involved in some of these funds, you'll see some web links on there also. So that's a brief overview of the funding for this committee.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mueller. Any questions? Again, we'll be delving into the budgets a lot of our session here this year, since we're in the budgeting session. But any questions that pop up right now you'd like to ask? If not, I am very pleased to announce a special visitor, guest today, our new Commissioner of Agriculture, Commissioner Dave Fredrickson. Welcome, Commissioner. A former senator.
Which chair?
Whatever works for you, Dave.
Thank you so much. It's a great pleasure and privilege and honor to be here in this chair today. I told some friends of mine if I had any sense, I'd be in Florida with the rest of my age group. But no sense. Again, thank you so much for the invitation to be here, Mr. Chairman. It's kind of a walk through history for me. I saw a lot of these same players around here, Ross and others. You know, it's too many to mention, I guess, right now. But and I also want to acknowledge Senator Benson. It's my home, of course, is a little town out in western Minnesota called Murdoch. And it's good to have another member of the Murdoch community. Back in my day, it was the Murdoch Fightin' Irish. Now it's the Fightin' Saints with Kirkovan, Murdoch, and Sundberg. So my congratulations to you, Senator Benson, on a great, I'm sure, to be a great career. One of the, I was thinking as Greg was going through the chapters, one of the things that I forgot when I first came here as a member of the Senate was to look at things that you repeal when you put together your piece of legislation. And I remember studying exactly everything that I was going to do in this piece of legislation. One of my friends from the minority asked me, Greg, you're laughing, you probably recall this, as I got through making my presentation on the floor, I think it was my first time, my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. And he said, well, this is all well and good. Will Senator Fredrickson yield? And, of course, you yield. And he said, what are you repealing? And I said, I have no idea. So just a gentle reminder when you introduce those of you that have just come in, when you introduce your first bill and carry it to the floor, if you have a repealer in there, remember what you're repealing. Save you lots of embarrassment. Let me just give you a quick, Mr. Chairman, a quick rundown of me. I've kicked around for a long time. I think I might be the oldest commissioner appointed this year. I suppose that's a dubious distinction. I grew up in, again, a little town out in western Minnesota called Murdoch. My family showed up there about 1873, 74, something like that, and settled there. I was the middle child of three. Couldn't wait to get out of there, and went away to college, taught for 7 years. I taught behavior problem kids, which was actually a good prerequisite for coming into the legislature, I thought, back in those days. My dad's health failed, and my wife and I, married to my high school sweetheart of 45 years, we came back to the farm in 1974. And farmed there until 1998. In the meantime, I got sidetracked to legislative service. I ran and won in 1986 a Senate seat by a landslide of 32 votes and thought, now what do I have to do? And came here to St. Paul. I served two terms and then recognized that every now and then an innocent person is sent to the legislature, and so I stepped away. That's a joke. You're way too serious this morning. I was on my way back to the farm, and I was sidetracked to a State Farm organization, the Minnesota Farmers Union, representatives here today, to fill an unexpired term of the former President Willis Eakin. In fact, his son serves in the House, Kent Eakin. And I thought, yeah, I can do that for a few months, and that turned into 10.5 years. I served then as president of the National Farmers Union and based out of Minnesota, out of Denver, Colorado, our main office, and out of Washington, D.C., and triangulated those three spots for several years. I left. Actually, I was on my way to a little community out in Doug Magnus's neck of the woods, Senator Magnus. It's called Woodstock, not the one he says he remembers, but the one that's out by Pipestone. And I fell asleep at the wheel out by Hutchinson, and I rear-ended a grain truck. I'd been on the road a fair amount, in the air a fair amount, and survived it. My wife picked me up at the hospital in Litchfield and carted me home. About a week later, I got in the plane, flew to Mexico City, did a few meetings there, came back through Houston, and between Houston and Minneapolis, the plane was struck by lightning. And this huge ball of fire came out from under the plane. It rocked and rolled a little bit, and people were hollering. And when I got home, I said to my wife, I think I've just received a sign. I consequently retired, sat at home, stared out the window for a year. And Senator Klobuchar was elected to the United States Senate. She needed some assistance in her ag outreach work, and so I went back to work, flunking retirement. And I've worked for Senator Klobuchar for the past 4 years, up until a week ago Friday. On Tuesday, I went to work as your new commissioner of agriculture in the state of Minnesota. I bring lots of background and lots of experience in agriculture, and I'm here, Mr. Chairman, to present myself. I know I will be back again. Hopefully the tough questions will be on the table then. So I certainly yield for any questions.
Any questions? Well, thank you very much, Commissioner, and congratulations. And we'll think of some tough questions.
I bet you will. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
We look forward to the day, and congratulations. Good luck in your
thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I think before we go before we get started with the overview of the department, we'll talk a little bit about what our plans are and how we intend to operate here. I'm not a big rules person, a real formal guy. I guess it's my house training, Senator Kubley knows. So I'm not real big on rules, and so it's my preference that we have a very limited set of rules. But for one thing, we will excuse anyone. If they're not here, if they're absent, we will excuse them unless there's something extraordinary coming about, like you're out there campaigning against me or my friends here. Instead of being here, we will put that in. For amendments, a lot of committees have rules on amendments. I just assume not, because I hate to break my own rules down the road if we need to do it. But I want to encourage all of you to use some caution about amendments. Let us know, let our staff know, and the other members know. Senator Kubley is a ranking member on the DFL side. Let make sure he knows on amendments we have, and myself, and Senator Dames is the vice chair here. Let us know as much as you can, especially when we get to the situation where we have to delete all amendments and you completely change what's in the context of your bill. It's nice to know what's going on there if you do decide to make significant changes. But otherwise, we'll just kind of move along. And again, I hope not to put many rules in, but Senator Kubley and I will stay in touch about this. And if we see the need to do some things, we'll work together and do that. A lot of new members here, so I'll go through just a little bit of the work on the bills. If you have a bill and have an idea, make sure that you contact our staff, ask for a hearing request to get the bill brought up here. Again, if you think there's any fiscal impact, make sure you get a request a fiscal impact note on the effect of your bill, so we have an understanding of how it affects the state budget here. Even if you come in and say we've got a fiscal note, there's no impact, that's good. But with a tight budget problem, for sure, we're going to be looking at the impact on that. When you ask for a bill request or hearing on your bill, also let us know the possible testifiers. Let us know how much time you'll need, the possible testifiers, and who they will be, if you can. And do your best to, if you're having people from your area or another area come in, that you notify the media and let them know that they're in here advocating for their position, and try and do that. As a general rule, the testifiers that come from a long ways away will be given preference if it's possible. A lot of us live in quite a ways away, and there's nothing more frustrating to come here and maybe come here for a couple hearings in a row, and don't get the chance to testify when you've sacrificed a lot of your time and efforts to get here. So we will make that a priority. And also, if you have handouts, let us know about that. And I encourage you to use handouts. It's a way for us to look at, not only look at what you're doing, but to take it back and have our staff and have us have our time to look at that. So we would encourage you to do that. We hope to, again, be a pretty much informal committee as much as possible. I do want us to be efficient, though. We've got a lot of work to do here at the Capitol, so keep your questions succinct as possible. Get those out, and please be punctual as much as we can. I'll try to start the committee meetings on time. It's a courtesy to the other members and to the people that come that we do that. So let's start on time, and we'll do our best to end on time and do that. Just a little bit more housekeeping. There will not be a meeting this Thursday. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday, the 18th. And as we think through now a little bit of our roadmap for the next few meetings, today we'll go through we'll start with a review of the Department of Agriculture. We may get into the Board of Animal Health too, Dr. Hartman. Probably next meeting, if we have a chance, as we anticipate, this will go on for two meetings, because we have a lot of new members, and it's still a good overview to sit down and look at just what's going on. I don't intend to hear a lot of bills. There certainly will be some that come up with some urgency to them, and we will hear those in a timely fashion. But what I expect we will do is we'll have the commodity groups and others in the General Farm Organization and others come in and give the committee a background of what they think what their situation is with their commodity groups, what their priorities are, and what they foresee the future to be, and to work with that. We'll also have the AURI come in and talk about that, since they are part of the budget. We'll probably do a day or two where we talk about renewable energy and biosciences and all this sort of exciting stuff that we're into now on the cutting edge of the future, and hope that we can do some work to continue the reputation Minnesota has as really a forward-looking state, and doing a lot of things that we can do on with that. So any questions about the procedures and how we would like to operate and go on? Again, Senator Dames is the vice chair, and Senator Kubley is a ranking member here, so we'll work together, and please feel free. I always have the saying, the corn and the soybeans don't know if they're Republican or Democrat, so we'll just operate in that pretext.
Silly.
With that... Even a rodeo bull, Senator. No. With that, Well, Quinn, would you like to jump in to Ms. Cheney and come up and identify yourself for the record and tell us what the situation is at the Department of Agriculture.
Quinn Cheney. I am the Director of Policy Development at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and my role is basically to be the legislative liaison between the legislature. And that means that when you have questions about the department or you have constituents that have concerns, I'm the one that you can call. My cell phone is almost always on, so you can email or I thought I'd start with a quick overview of the impact of agriculture in Minnesota. I know a lot of you have farm history, but I thought that I would just kind of emphasize Minnesota's agriculture has had a long history of serving as an economic cornerstone for the state's economy. More than half of the state's total land is farmland. We support, agriculture supports many other industries such as manufacturing, transportation, wholesale and resale, retail trade, services, construction, banking, insurance, real estate, and the list could go on. Minnesota's ag industry, including production and processing, is the second largest economic sector in Minnesota. It comes after manufacturing. And it's also the second largest employer in Minnesota. That works out to ag production supports an additional 1.5 jobs in all economic sectors, and it's one in every five jobs is ag-related. More than 80% of all ag jobs are off-farm, and our ag exports bring in about $4 billion each year. Our mission at the Department of Agriculture is to enhance Minnesotans' quality of life by ensuring the integrity of our food supply, the health of our environment, and the strength of our agricultural economy. And the agency is really structured closely around that mission. We have a two-pronged role of regulation and promotion. We're the primary agency in protecting the state's food supply and a key player in protecting the state's environment and natural resources. We are also the primary agency for nurturing a healthy agricultural economy. Our commissioner, you've met, Commissioner Dave Fredrickson, and this is a picture of our Department of Agriculture. We have about 420 FTEs. For many years, we were housed in a rented office building on the other side of the river in St. Paul, and because of as technology advanced and the needs of our laboratory grew, it became clear that the building was really ill-equipped to handle particularly the laboratory. So in 2005, we moved up to the new Freeman Building, and we have a laboratory and we share the Freeman Building with the Department of Health, which actually works out really well for our food safety efforts because the Department of Health and the Department of Agriculture employees work very, very closely when they're trying to track down foodborne illnesses and things like that. We're divided up, as I said, into promotion and regulatory. So today I'm going to talk about our non-regulatory division specifically, Agricultural Marketing Services, or AMS as we call them, and Agricultural Development and Financial Assistance, which also includes the Rural Finance Authority. Our regulatory divisions, which I'll talk about next week, are the Dairy and Food Inspection, Pesticide and Fertilizer Management, Plant Protection, and our Laboratory Services, which helps out all of those other regulatory divisions. We also have Agency Services, which includes our IT, Finance and Budget, Human Resources, and the Commissioner's Office. I think that we're going to go over budget in greater detail on another day, but I just thought I'd give you the quickie. This is our total biennial base budget is $165 million. And that, as you can see, divides up into the general fund, ag fund, federal funds, and then a few other smaller items. Our Ag Marketing Services division is the one responsible for domestic market development. We do all of the biofuels programs, promoting biofuels, promoting the use of biofuels, as well as the production of biofuels, and as well as some additional next-generation style, second-generation style biofuels. We also have the Minnesota Grown program, which you may have seen in your grocery stores or when you go to U-Pick Farms. The Minnesota Grown program, I'll describe in detail in a little bit, but that's promoting our Minnesota Grown products. We also, in that division, have international, and that's our way of we have staff that work with international markets to increase our ag exports. And then we also provide support for producers, showcasing Minnesota food products and companies at trade shows. We help out the state's commodity councils, and we have a livestock development team that helps work with our livestock producers. So as I said, this division is responsible for our renewable fuels development. Minnesota is a national leader in renewable fuels development. We have 21 ethanol plants, 4 biodiesel plants, more than 1 billion gallons of annual production capacity. And the economic impact of all of that is pretty significant, $2.5 billion worth of economic impact and 6,000 related jobs. Our biofuels plants are farmer-owned for the most part. We have a lot of them are doing really innovative technological advancements. And we also, on the youth side, we have approximately 360 EDI-5 stations in the country, and 225,000 flex fuel vehicles driving around. This is, we have more EDI-5 stations than any other state in the country. We're a leader in ethanol policy. Currently, all gasoline sold in Minnesota must contain 10% ethanol. And by 2013, that will increase to 20%, assuming that we get approval from the EPA. There's a process that we have to go through to get that approval. We also have some statutory production goals, and we surpassed our production goals in 2008. On the biodiesel side of things, we also are a national leader on biodiesel policy. In 2005, we passed legislation to use 2% biodiesel year-round. In 2009, that went up to be 5% year-round. And then in 2012, it will go up to B10 in the summer months, but will drop back to B5 in the winter months. In 2015, it will get up to B20 in the summer and stay at B5 in the winter. The Minnesota Grown program started in 1988. It's a statewide partnership between MDA and specialty crop and livestock producers. There are some general funds that go into this program, but it's a great partnership because it leverages $4 in private investment for every $1. So we sell ads, there are licenses that Minnesota Grown producers use. All of that generates an additional $4 to complement the $1 from the every $1 from the general fund investment. What is Minnesota Grown? The requirements to be a participant in the Minnesota Grown program, 80% of your product must be grown or raised on Minnesota farms. Processed food is eligible, but only if it can be traced to Minnesota farms. And we have more than 1,100 licensed members. They pay $20 for an annual license, and that allows them the use of the logo list. They also have listing in the annual directory and online, and there's a variety of other promotional events that they participate in. That logo can also be used by any vendor who's selling that product. The average net gain of new members is 45 per year, so it's very much a growing program. As I said, the marketing division also is responsible for creating new export opportunities for Minnesota and really promoting our agricultural products abroad. Minnesota is consistently among the top 10 largest ag and food exporters in the United States. Our ag exports total approximately $5.4 billion annually, and they've increased 250% in the last 15 years. And that chart shows some of the countries that we export to. Is there benefit from our ag exports? Minnesota companies that have participated say yes. They have reported about $15 million increase in sales as a result of some MDA-sponsored trade missions to Cuba, Vietnam, Taiwan, and China, and a return on investment of approximately $633 for every dollar. Finally, our Ag Marketing Services has a livestock development team and some additional services. We provide the administration of the livestock licensing, bonding, and weighing services. We also administer the Dairy Profitability Enhancement Program, which has farm teams and project planning grants that help dairy farmers with their analysis of the profitability of their program and other things that they can be doing to help enhance their business. We provide outreach to local units of government and to livestock producers in an effort to improve and grow Minnesota's livestock farms and related businesses. The total biennial base budget for this division is $7.19 million, approximately 21 employees. And as you will notice, there's a fairly significant federal pot in this, and that's because we received a grant from the USDA for specialty crops. So that's federal.
Ms. Cheney, I have a question here, if I could. How about a historical site on this? How's that budget been doing historically? Has this been going down or going up or staying static? Or
the general fund dollars have gone down a bit for this division, but the federal fund with that grant on specialty crops, that's definitely an increase in than what we have traditionally seen in it.
Well, I was interested to see the return on investment, $633 for every dollar we spend. I think it's pretty important to continue these kind of programs.
We agree, Mr. Chair.
All right, good.
In the Ag Development and Financial Assistance Division, we work a lot with farmers on promoting environmentally friendly ag and land use practices. We do water quality enhancement, ag land preservation, working with integrated pest management. That's basically using good bugs to get rid of the bad bugs. We work with development and promotion of organic and sustainable agriculture. We offer low interest loans to beginning farmers and others through the Rural Finance Authority, through the AgBMP program, and also through some sustainable agriculture loans. We also have the Minnesota Farmer Assistance Network, which offers some guidance for farmers in economic transition or some financial hardships. As I said, the Development and Financial Assistance Program spends a lot of time helping agricultural producers meet our environmental goals. We use AgBMP loans and on-farm research and demonstration of innovative farming practices such as conservation drainage and cover crops for areas. We also work on ensuring the viability of agriculture at the urban and rural interface, helping with land use outreach and technical assistance, working to preserve ag land, and also helping perform environmental reviews of development and transportation and energy projects, really looking for those agricultural impacts. Finally, we work a lot with diversifying agricultural production and opportunities, and that includes expansion of organic and specialty crop production, working with alternative crop production, and also working on growing the urban and ex-urban agriculture and the local food, both production and markets. The Rural Finance Authority, as was mentioned by Mr. Knopf, provides low-interest loans and grants really aimed at supporting that next generation of farmers. We help with alternative production methods and crops, and we work with beginning farmers and transitioning farmer support. They're user-financed. Most of the programs are funded through user-financed bonding, but not all. Through the RFA, we've issued $170 million of loans since 1986. It's approximately $12 million in loans per year, which works out to be about 90 loans. The Ag BMP loan program is used to support conservation tillage equipment, structural erosion control, ag waste management, septic systems, and other similar areas. And we've issued $156 million in loans since 1995, and this leverages an additional $90 million. Works out to be approximately $15 million per year, 750 loans per year. And finally, the base budget for this division is approximately $7.32 million in general fund money, and an additional $1.36 million in user-financed RFA loans. We have 22 employees. And the one thing that I want to comment on in this is I have clean water in the legend for that pie graph, but it shows up as zero because we've received clean water funds in the last couple budget cycles, but they're always one-time funds, so it shows up as zero as the base budget. Finally, we have our agency services division, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on those. That includes our finance and budget, which runs all of the finance and budget for the agency, paying vendors and employees and managing the department's budget, information technology, human resources, and the commissioner's office. The total budget for the division, for the agency services division, is $14.5 million and about 38 FTEs. And most of that is, or about half, a little more than half of that is general fund. We also have grants and assistance, which our finance and budget team monitor, and then are carried out. Some of the work associated with it is carried out through some of the divisions, but most of it is pass-through dollars. One of those assistance programs is the Ethanol Producer Payment Program. 16 plants have participated in the program, and 9 plants are currently eligible for deficiency payments. You can only receive deficiency payments if you're actually producing ethanol. Final payments are scheduled to be made in fiscal year 2012, which is this biennium. And so the base funding for this biennium is in 2012, it will be 14.72, and then 300,000 in 2013. One program that was passed or that was created in the last couple of years, basically with the intent of segueing from the ethanol producer payments into other sorts of agricultural promotion grants and loans, is the Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation Program, also known as AGRI. And really it was designed to respond to emerging needs in agriculture. One of the programs under that right now is the Livestock Investment Grant Program, and we've issued grants to livestock producers to encourage growth and expansion of livestock facilities over the last couple of years. Also, we have the NextGen Energy Grant Program, which received funding, I think, two different years, and offered grants to a variety of different facilities, educational institutions, ethanol and biodiesel plants, and plant companies involved with next generation biofuels to help them develop those technological advancements. Biennial base funding for this program would be zero because some of those programs were funded with one-time monies in the past, but the program was set up essentially to capture the ethanol payments as they go, to segue that those ethanol payments into this program. So it would be $14.42 million would be the base budget for this program in 2013. Finally, we offer a variety of other pass-through grants and state fairs, Poultry Association, Livestock Association, Northern Crops Institute, Horticultural Society, Turf Research in Northern Minnesota, Farmers Markets, Farm Advocates, Mental Health Counseling to Farmers, Milk Grants, and the Minnesota Ag Education and Leadership Council. The base budget for all of these grants combined is $6.87 million, and we just have a couple of employees that are working on these programs. And with that, I will conclude and stand for questions. Here's my contact information. Get a hold of me.
Okay, thank you very much. Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, on the new next-gen energy grant program, and let's say you were talking about ethanol biofuels, would that pertain to forests too, wood products?
The next-gen energy grants that were issued a couple of years ago and the Associated Next-Gen Energy Board has looked at a variety of feedstock for biofuels, so not just corn and soybeans. There was a research project, and I can get you some more information on that particular project that was funded that looked a lot at the different forest, the energy value of different forest products.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that, Senator Saxhog, I'm on the NextGen board. And probably 2 years ago, perhaps, that we put a forest product representative on the board to make sure that was covered. But my question, Ms. Cheney, is about that NextGen. Now that I see in 2012 we have $0, is that board going to continue or are we going to still stay in play? Because there's a tremendous amount of dollars coming in 2013. And, of course, grants come in and need to be looked at, and we need to keep moving. But what is the plan for the department and the commissioner?
Ms. Cheney.
Chair Magnus, Senator Rosen. The NextGen board received funding three or four years ago, and now I'm blanking on exactly 3 years ago, actually. And it was just one-time funding. So you and I have worked together on the board for the last couple of years, and we did not have any funding at that time. My understanding is that the board will continue. It's not yet set to expire. So if the legislature and I assume Governor Dayton will appoint new members to that committee, and the legislature will continue to serve as members on it. And if or when those new funds come into the get appropriated to the board for additional grants or loans, then the board will help administer those as well.
Well, I think just to that point, when we look at the idea of taking some of the expiring ethanol payments, and really those are all deficiency payments. I want that to be made clear as we talk to our colleagues. Those are payments that, you know, we promised when we frankly couldn't pay the monies we owed in previous financial hardships we had in 2003 and then 2 years ago in the budget. So we delayed the payments out and called these deficiency payments. We've got about $15 million left to pay. It's my hope, and I hope the rest of you will agree with this and support this, that we can get those deficiency payments made, get them out of the way. It was our hope also in the legislature that we could keep this sort of baseline funding in the agriculture and rural economies budget to look at the new next generation of biofuels, to look at bioscience industry, to look at other areas that we wanted to work on, look at livestock credits and grants to make our livestock industry more competitive. you'll see, and I don't know how we're going to shake out with that, with this budget. That's what we'll have to decide as we go on. Do you want to make any comments about this brochure? I would have one if you want to look at it. On the front page, it shows the agriculture products ranking in 2008, and it's been quite a change here. If you look at it, it's about 62% from crops and grain farming, and now about 38% in 2008 from livestock. There was a period of time when that was about half and half. And I think this year that we're quoting here is probably skewed a little bit because we did have very high grain prices in 2008 for much of the year and some pretty tough times in the livestock industry. So we're getting probably closer, a little bit closer back to half and half. But that's a general rule of thumb I use when we're speaking that in the case of Minnesota's agriculture, we are pretty close to half grain and about half livestock. As we are, and if you look through the brochure, you'll see the areas where we're very, very strong in, like turkey and poultry and beef and hogs and soybeans and corn and that sort of thing. And then another key point I wanted to point out was the agricultural exports. Again, an area that's near and dear to my heart. But I was just looking at some statistics this morning. That they're estimating that for the total United States, the agricultural exports are estimated to be up about 17% in this last year. We're going into a phase of international trade agreements, hopefully being reaching conclusion, and also bilateral trade agreements, the United States and other trading partners. In my opinion, those are key. If we're going to continue to grow the export markets, our agricultural exports add billions and billions and billions of dollars to the trade surplus, to our trade situation. So we're fortunate here in Minnesota. Agriculture is strong. It's keeping our state from slipping back even farther in economic situations. So we do have some good things going. Hopefully we can keep some monies in here and use them for the future for programs that we need to use. Any other comments? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Cheney, this comment about return on investment of $633 for every dollar spent, that's just staggering. You don't have to be around here very long to know that we get all these kinds of estimates about for every dollar spent, there's a dollar return or $7 return. But I don't know, has there ever, you might not know, but I've just never seen one this high before, this high of return on investment. And actually, I look forward to learning more about that. Maybe not today, but I look forward to learning more about that piece.
Thank you, Senator. And we certainly don't want to neglect Robin Kinney. Robin, would you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit of your, and I've known you for years too. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Robin Kinney. I've had the good fortune to serve the state of Minnesota in agriculture for the last 3 years as an assistant commissioner overseeing the non-regulatory side of the Department of Agriculture. It's our pleasure to be here today to answer your questions, to tell our story, and to work with you in providing funds that can help us deliver those services to not only our producers but our consumers across the world.
Okay. Any further questions? I would point out in your folders here now you have a save file, so if information you wish to keep, if you don't want to take it back to your office and you want to keep for further use in the committee, put it in a save file. Otherwise, what you don't put in there, you may never see again. So, Senator Rosen, did you have a point?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to ask you what your plans were as far as the biofuels industry. Are you going to have like a biodiesel day or an ethanol day? Because there's a lot of open-ended questions out there about the payments, about right. Direction.
Senator Rosen, you bring up a good point, and yes, we do plan on doing that, and we certainly are going to work very very strongly with your committee and the Energy Committee, and we need to think through again how we're going to suggest the next generation board continue on and our suggestions on how that moves ahead, and that's something that our two committees will work on. It's been the practice in the past that the chairs and others from the Ag and the Energy Committee serve on that board, and we also not only will be involved with that one, but I strongly encourage the Ag members to look at the Legislative Energy Commission also as something that we'll be working on. I assume we continue to do that. Your committee meets in a little while, and certainly have legislators step up to serve on that one also. So we'll have new openings on that one. But ethanol is seeing its share of enemies now, and I've been encouraging folks to talk about biofuels, not just single out ethanol. We still continue to spend almost $1 billion a day on foreign energy in this state. So about $350 billion a year leaving our country. We're seeing what happens with that. With the value of our dollar and the value of our currency, and that's just going to speed up and get worse. I'm a strong supporter of the biofuels, as I know you are, Senator Rosen, and Senator Cooley and others are too. But we need to sit down as a country, as a state, and really give a some serious thought to what our energy future is. So we will be spending a lot of time on that here and in your committee.
Thank you.
And in the other boards, so we'll work on that. So we'll put your stuff in the save files. Again, we will not meet this Thursday. Our next meeting will be next Tuesday when we will continue on with the Department of Agriculture's review and probably get into Board of Animal Health, I think. If Dr. Hartman, you want to be ready to roll for that, then appreciate that. And with that, any other further discussion, any items for the good of agriculture and real economies in the state of Minnesota? If not, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Ready.